This one's called Travel Diary, and it was off my second album. I wrote it when I was backpacking in California.
I keep on wondering if I'm okay, or reassure myself, but I keep on wondering, no way. I miss looking at you and you miss looking at me. Amid distractions I can find myself missing my sea, where I can go swim with the fish. Me underwater, the sea breeze won't miss. People walking by, hummingbird hangs in the sky. Be careful that you listen up, these conversations yield so much. But my mind runs like water, west of the border, to a summer's day and somebody's daughter. I'm alive just to see you wake up next to me. Seems like you've been here before. Myself with mind games, exercise and play, where I can go swim with the fish in a weightless bliss. Me underwater, sea breeze will miss. Where I can go swim with the fish in a weightless bliss. Me underwater, sea breeze will miss. Seagull flies by catching my wandering eye down by the seaside gray. Whiskers on the roadside going a rock a top da 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 dum die. The sea's a different color. Should jump and check in with the water so that it knows where I am, knows where I've been, knows where I'm going.
Good evening to you.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you here on ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory. You are coming to us from Alice Springs. You've just spent some time around Central Australia. But before we start talking about that, tell me a little bit about home.
So I work full time on a farm at home. We farm sheep, wheat and barley. And then I play music on weekends. So it's a pretty tough balance, but it works at the moment and it keeps me pretty busy. But they kind of go hand in hand pretty well, because there's times of the year when it's flat out on the farm and I don't do any music, but then there's other times when it's a bit quieter so I can sneak off and do things like this.
How do you manage to find some inspiration for only a certain amount of the year and then manage to turn it into what we just heard?
I probably never really stopped thinking about music and writing stuff. A lot of the time on the farm, you do have a lot of time to yourself, whether it be on tractors or riding around mustering in the scrub or anything like that. I think and it's probably goes hand in hand with me loving doing this residency up here at Glen Helen is, I guess the solitude of working in the outback and out in the scrub and sort of having the feeling like you've got the place to yourself. At home, we've got amazing beaches and ocean and cliffs, and it's all very rugged. And there's kind of parallels with that, with the desert even. It's, it's just inspirational, I guess. Draws the best out in you, I think.
Do you feel differently when you're by the sea and on the land compared to when you're in the middle of Australia in the desert?
Having grown up next to the sea my whole life, that's probably something I do miss when I'm up here. But at the same time, there's something pretty magic about the desert too, I think. Both sort of environments have a very similar kind of effect on you where they kind of make you feel insignificant. And that leads to really good songwriting, I think.
You have been travelling to some pretty remote places, which we'll talk about soon. But tell me a little bit about how your relationship with Glen Helen has been going.
Really good. A few years back, me and my girlfriend did an extended trip up north here, and I played a night at Glen Helen Homestead out there in the West Max. They obviously liked what they heard, and I got asked to come back for a couple of weeks last year, and then this year I've done about 3 weeks, so 5 nights a week. And for the other 2 days that I get off, I usually try and do the bolt because I come up here in my ute, which gives me a bit of freedom, and I can go look at some spots that I haven't been to yet.
What's it like getting to travel up from South Australia up into the middle of the desert, driving, taking it easy? I mean, obviously understanding you've got to be somewhere, but getting to do that trip.
Yeah, I love it. I love the drive up north, how it sort of changes so much, and the landscape sort of, you sort of get to Cooper Pedy and things start getting pretty barren looking, but then every creek you start going through after that, you get little hints that you're getting closer to the middle. You might have a few more river red gums and... I don't know, like it changes so constantly that I don't really find it's boring at all. I really enjoy the drive.
Absolutely. Have you got a chance to get many of your mates up and to show them some of that territory beauty?
Not really. There's a lot of mates that are talking about it the last couple of years that I've been doing it. You always run into people around the place because everyone kind of likes to escape the winter down south, so often I'll run into people in Alice when I'm in for the day, and those sorts of things. But it's just a really friendly environment out there. I think everyone's kind of attracted to it for the same reasons. So you meet a lot of like-minded individuals that love hanging out in really beautiful surroundings. They either like their bird watching or they're hiking, or you meet a lot of nice crew out there.
You haven't had much time off, but when you do get time off, you make the absolute most of it. Tell me a little bit about some of the adventures that you've been on, especially out towards places like Papunya and Yundamu.
I like to sort of, to a degree, I like to not plan too much because it sort of leaves you open to opportunities like that, and things just kind of fall into place with that. The first couple of days off I had, I sort of went pretty hard on the hiking and got up to Mount Sonder. And then the second couple of days, I snuck up sort of backtracks to Papunya and then north of Papunya past Central Mount Wedge and then come out on the Tanami Road there and went into Yundamu, where I caught up with my auntie for a night and went to the art centre there, which is absolutely amazing. I think I ended up visiting it twice in 24 hours. You just find yourself staring at paintings and they kind of suck you in. Other couple of days I had off just... last week I went out to the East Max, so out towards Hart's Range Homestead out that way, and did a bit of a stay out there and drove around and did a bit of a fossicking trip. And so I try and keep pretty busy.
Sounds like you've been having a pretty awesome time, but with all the stuff that you've been doing, have you been able to come up with some new music?
I'll get lyrics pop up. I'll be quick to jot them down, and the odd little riff might pop into my head, but I often find when I'm sort of booked in playing so regularly, that often sucks up a lot of the creative energy from my day when I play every night. So I usually try and rest during the day, rest my voice. Because I think by the end of this run, I will have done 17 nights in 23 days, so it's a fair marathon. So you got to sort of look after yourself a bit.
So you're going to have some real R&R when you get home, right?
4 or 5 days, and then I've got a gig at Coffins Bay, which is a beautiful spot. Lots of oyster farms and things, so that's on I better check that up. Saturday or Sunday, but it'll be good fun.
Some of the best oysters in the country, we might add to that.
It's a pretty part of the world as well.
From the desert to the sea, you have it figured out. Absolutely. No, it sounds like you've been, you know, really enjoying your most of it. Have you noticed any real differences between this year compared to some of the other years that you've been doing the same thing?
I probably haven't really. Look, this is only my second full residency up here. The Fink was just trickling over when I got up here this year, and it just stopped. But even it's surprising that it was even trickling, considering the lack of rain that I've had since sort of end of January, I think, was the last decent rain they had. It's pretty special going into a lot of those water holes. They sort of turn into little oases and attract a lot of cool little critters. So it makes bird watching pretty easy.
Are you a bird watcher, are you, Josh?
Oh, I don't mind it.
Tell me about where the love for bird watching has come from. Has it been since you've been in Central Australia, or?
I'm not sure. I've always liked critters. I sort of did an aquaculture degree at university, so I sort of really enjoy the marine environment because that's close to home. And then I actually did a surveying course with a Juna down south, which it's amazing the more you sort of look into those sorts of things and get taught how to properly classify things that you see or identify things, the more you look, the more you see, really, which is I've really enjoyed that part of the bird watching.
So was singing a first choice or your backup choice?
I've always done it. I was probably blessed to be sort of brought up in a very musical community at Elliston. You know, at one time there, I think we had 6 or 7 bands out of probably 400 people.
Excellent.
You sort of have to make your own fun at Elliston. So whether it be footy season's taken pretty seriously, but I sort of had to hang the boots up with that because I was doing gigs with Black Eyes and Busted Hamstrings and things. doesn't go down that well, especially if you're doing sort of corporate style stuff. But we're really lucky. Elliston's sort of a lot of artistic creative types are attracted to really beautiful environments where they get inspiration from, I think. And Elliston, I think, is one of those pretty spots, as is Westmacs. I've sort of ran into a lot of painters and drawers and things like that out that way as well. And I think they're just naturally attracted to really pretty surroundings.
They both sound incomparable yet as beautiful as one another, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they definitely have parallels.
Tell me a little bit about growing up in small towns and trying to, I guess, kind of figure out who you are.
Well, that's a tough one. From my experience, Elliston is a very supportive community, especially creatively. We've got a lot of different, groups of people that maybe if you're in a bigger town, they would stay as groups and sort of hang amongst themselves. But we're kind of small enough that everyone has to get along. So there's a lot of different lifestyle types that all kind of mesh and mingle, and everyone kind of accepts one another for whatever they're up to, you know. Like, there'll obviously always be the odd conflict here and there, but I'm a farmer, and I used to play lots of music when I was young. Our school was really supportive, maybe not in a structured musical sense, but very much a jamming, improvisation, I guess, perspective. Footy is massive at home. We've just about got to put a pair of boots put on you as soon as you can walk, and I loved my footy, and it was just sort of I had to make a decision whether I pursued the music side of things more than the footy. I was starting to do a few injuries here and there, and I was getting a lot of enjoyment out of my music, and after a bit of loving from Triple J, it really gave me a bit of a shove exposure-wise, and I've been fortunate to be able to make it float with massive support from friends and family, and really Eyre Peninsula as a whole. Really, I do a lot of travelling on Eyre Peninsula to play gigs. I've been very lucky in that sense that people like what I do.
Elliston sounds like a lovely little town. In fact, you mentioned it was nice to be kind of supported no matter what you wanted to do creatively or whether you wanted to be a footy player or something like that. But one of the people who seemed to have had a bit of an impact on you is the person that you dedicated your album to, your kindy teacher. Tell me about this.
I find myself harping back to kindy a lot because I find I knew what I enjoyed from a young age. Like, I used to love woodworking, and I still love woodworking, and music and woodworking really grew hand in hand, really. But woodworking happened behind closed doors in the shed, and music happened on a stage. So it's sort of, they're two very different things. But my kindy teacher, Mrs. Agars, or Karen Agars, she was really supportive. Yeah, and she had a massive impact on a lot of generations and a lot of kids too.
So she was a bit of a personality in a small town?
Definitely, yep. She, honestly, I couldn't tell you how long she was involved in kindy at school, but she had a way of growing little kids.
And to remember a kindy teacher, you know, you might remember them for a couple of years after, but to dedicate an album to them, she must have been someone special.
Yeah, definitely. Even, I think in small communities, she obviously got to watch a lot of her kids go right up through school, university, everything, you know, apprenticeships, school, moving back or moving away, and she usually genuinely kept in touch with people to see how they were going and things like that. So, yeah, she had a big impact.
Let's talk a little bit about Triple J and the recognition that you managed to get with them. How has that journey been since being on Unearthed?
Yeah, really good. That was completely out of the blue, really. My solo stuff, I was just creating it as a little side project. I played in bands my whole life, really, until I started writing a few things, and I didn't really have the confidence. I didn't like showing my original stuff to people, probably because I didn't think it was good enough. I managed to get quite a bit of material together and a little cheap studio set up in my room and recorded it all myself, and I was very fortunate. Like I mentioned, Karen Agars, my kindy teacher, she basically taught me my first instrument, which was drums, and I stayed on drums for a long time, mainly because I liked hiding behind the cymbals more than anything. I didn't really like being out the front. So I recorded Moon is a Mirror, and I put it up on Unearthed, and it was a lot of luck involved, really. Like, I managed to put this album out. It came together really well, and a few friends heard it and said I should really push it a bit. So I just put it on Unearthed, and at that time, Triple J announced a one-night stand in Tumby Bay, and I happened to get the Unearthed slot for that. Which was really cool, but I happened to be in San Francisco at the time, so I was about ready to come home anyway. So that I got a call from the doctor, and I was like, "Whoa, this is a bit different." and I thought, "Nah, I better get home." So I bolted home and practiced up with a few boys in the band, prepared a few songs, and we played at Tumby Bay. I think there would have been maybe 6,000 or 7,000 people there when I played, and it probably got up to 10 or 12, I think, but by far the biggest crowd I'd ever played to, that's for sure.
I have to ask, with all this travelling, how does one manage to also take care of a farm?
I'm a bit very lucky in that sense. I've got a very supportive family. It still runs full family setup, and you just have your allocated times of the years when you can do the bolt, and I think I've probably made the most of that pretty well. So I work the farm with, it's still my uncle and cousin and my mum and dad and me and my grandpa and nana. So there's a few hands on deck, which
it's
is handy.
It's a family affair.
It is very much so, yeah. And well, actually, probably one of the first bands I was in was actually with my uncle. I was on drums and he was on guitar, and my brother and sister were singing or playing the bass. So it was all very family orientated, I guess, yeah.
So when you leave, when you say, "Okay, I've got this gig, I've got to go, I'll be away for a few weeks, I'm sorry," is it a bit more of a, "Okay, then have a great trip," or, "Okay, well, great, now we've got to find someone to backfill you"?
No, I usually try and time it so it's with a quieter period. I'd get shot if I just bolted in a busy period, but it does make it a bit hectic for sure. Like before I come up here, we'd just done 2.5 weeks of shearing, so I pretty much finished cleaning up the shearing shed and got in the ute and bolted the next day, straight up here. So, yeah, it's definitely very flat out. It can be managed, but, yeah, honestly, I'm very lucky to be able to do it, really.
The family must be looking forward to seeing you for a few different reasons then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it sort of works. I'll be getting back and about a week later, my mum and dad will head off for their little holiday. So it's sort of, it's just a bit of give and take, I guess. Like, when I go away, they're on the farm. And when they go away, I'm on the farm. So
thank you so much for having a chat today. And I'm sure Central Australia has loved having you back. Hopefully we get to see you in the top end sooner rather than later.
Yeah, me too. It's a pleasure. Cheers for having me. This one's Moon is a Mirror off my first album.
Well, I've been looking for that summer storm, lightning flashing from dusk till dawn, drenching rain but it's sweet and warm, staring out as the clouds take form. As you tilt your head, washing down over your lips and neck, washing away all the dust and sweat, smell the dry grass as it's soaking wet. If we were looking at the same moon, would we be looking at each other? Would we be looking at each other? Sometimes I think I hear you clearer, using the moon as a mirror, using the moon as a mirror. Oh. Heavy heat hanging in the air, charged breathing that we both share, a cricket chirping from here and there, energy standing up every hair. We better get out of the soaking clothes, we might catch our death of a cold. It's a good excuse, I know, you can't blame me for trying though. Looking at the same moon, would we be looking at each other? Would we be looking at each other? Sometimes I think I hear you clearer, using the moon as a mirror, using the moon as a mirror. Oh. Looking at the same moon, would we be looking at each other? Would we be looking at each other?